From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, We May Speak for God. The text is Jeremiah 15 and verse 19. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, If thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Poor Jeremiah. Yet why do we say so? The weeping prophet was one of the choicest servants of God, and honored by him above many. He was hated for speaking the truth. The word which was so sweet to him was bitter to his hearers, yet he was accepted of his Lord. He was commanded to abide in his faithfulness, and then the Lord would continue to speak through him. He was to deal boldly and truthfully with men, and perform the Lord's winnowing work upon the professors of his day. And then the Lord gave him this word, Thou shalt be as my mouth. What an honor! Should not every preacher, yea, every believer, covet it? For God to speak by us, what a marvel! We shall speak sure, pure truth, and we shall speak it with power. Our word shall not return void. It shall be a blessing to those who receive it, and those who refuse it shall do so at their peril. Our lips shall feed many. We shall arouse the sleeping and call the dead to life. O dear Christian, pray that it may be so with all the sent servants of our Lord.
Thank you.
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've mentioned Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the LTBSradio.com website. In addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Or if you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. As he continues with this study in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns returns to the theme of God's judgment as set forth in chapter 2 of the epistle. In the previous message, he showed that God's judgment is according to truth. Continuing to examine Romans chapter 2, Dr. Cairns brings a message called The Standard of God's Righteous Judgment. Paul emphasizes that God will never deviate from his own standard. In the first place, we see that the righteous judgment of God will reflect the character of the judge. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce this message, The Standard of God's Righteous Judgment.
Romans chapter 2, we'll read the first 11 verses. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. The word righteousness may very well be taken as the key word in the entire epistle to the Romans. Certainly, it is impossible to understand this epistle without grasping the meaning and the use of the word righteousness. The key verse of Romans is in 1:17, and there we read that in the gospel is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith. And then we read also that the, if I can give it its literal force, the just by faith, or the righteous by faith. If you hyphenate those words, you'll get my meaning. Those who are righteous by faith shall live. One great aim and object of this gospel, or this epistle, is to expound the doctrine of the righteousness revealed in the gospel. The doctrine of justification by free grace through faith alone in the merits of Christ alone. That is the great central doctrinal component of this epistle. But having said that in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed, the apostle in chapter 1 verse 18 immediately proceeds to say that the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who stifle the truth in unrighteousness. And as the structure of the epistle begins to get filled out, you see that through the rest of chapter 1, Paul is expounding upon the righteous judgment of God against the Gentile heathen nations. In chapter 2, he continues with the great theme of judgment. This time he is dealing mostly with the Jew, but as our Bible reading has made clear, he is not speaking only to Jews. For there is no respect of persons with God, and the same principles of judgment apply both to Jews and to Gentiles. And in expounding this judgment of God, he emphasizes once again the idea of righteousness. In this epistle, the word righteousness describes the character of God. It describes the obedience of Christ. It describes the standing of believers that they enjoy in Christ. And in the passage before us, it is used to speak of the nature, what I've called the principle of divine judgment. As I've indicated, judgment is the major theme of Romans chapter 2. Addressing the self-righteous Jew, by extension, all who would easily judge the sins of others while going easy on their own sins. While speaking to these people, Paul takes up this theme of judgment, and he does it in some detail. I've already looked at the fact that the judgment of God, according to verse 2, is according to truth. Now we are going to see in verse 5 that it is according to righteousness. He speaks of the righteous judgment of God. The righteous judgment, in English you've got two words, righteous judgment. In the Greek text it's a single word. It has the same meaning. It has the idea of the absolute righteousness of God in judgment. Obviously, this is a text that is looking forward. It is looking forward to that great day when the judge of all the earth, who always does right, will ascend to his great white throne of judgment. All the nations will be gathered there. Every man will obey the summons to be present. For centuries, men have deluded themselves that there will be no judgment. Even those who believe in heaven mostly will say that they do not believe in hell. Those who say they believe in God as our Father will refuse largely to believe in God as a righteous judge. There's nothing new about this. It has always been the case. David noted back in the 10th Psalm, verse 11 and then 13, that the wicked hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. And again, the wicked hath said in his heart to God, Thou wilt not require it. In other words, there will be no day of reckoning. There will be no day of judgment. But over against all this, the Apostle Paul has made the crystal clear statement, an announcement that should ring through the countries of the world and through the generations of time and into every single human heart. Acts 17, verse 31. God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. This is the great truth that the apostle is announcing in Romans 2 and verse 5, when he speaks of the righteous judgment of God. In stating this truth, in speaking of the righteous judgment of God, the apostle is making clear a doctrine that I want to emphasize tonight. Let me put it as plainly as I can, and I trust that you will never forget it. That God's judgment will never deviate from the standard of perfect righteousness. God's judgment will never deviate from the standard of perfect righteousness. And as we explore that doctrine, I will make three simple, but I trust, searching statements. First and foremost, the righteous judgment of God will reflect the character of the judge. You remember that Paul, in writing to Timothy, almost the last words that Paul ever wrote, certainly the last chapter of the last epistle, as he looks forward to a martyr's death, he says, I am now ready to be offered. The day of my departure is at hand. And as he faces that day, he looks forward to receiving a crown of righteousness, which, says he, the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Notice the title Paul gives to his God. The Lord, the righteous judge. I want that title to sink into our consciences tonight. Our God is righteous, and he is righteous by eternal necessity. God did not become righteous. In fact, I'm very tempted to step off here for a moment from dealing with the epistle to the Romans, and to get into a little theological controversy. We have a curse abroad in evangelicalism and even invading some so-called Reformed churches today. We have a bunch of backsliding theologians who are forever seeking to tamper with the Reformed doctrine of God, the biblical doctrine of God, and the biblical doctrine of salvation. We have a new theology about which speaks of God, tries to deal with what they see as the conflict between the immutability of God and His eternal counsel and the texts of Scripture which speak of God repenting. There's no great conflict. The solution has long been clear in the Bible. In fact, Hosea makes it clear that he can only use the idea of God's repenting because God is immutable. The repenting is something that describes the phenomenon of God's dealings with man from man's point of view. But it is always inflexibly right and unchangeably true that God loves righteousness and hates unrighteousness. When unrighteous people repent and get right with God, God does not visit them with judgment. But the change is not in God. The change is in the object of His treatment. But to deal with this so-called controversy in Scripture or conflict in Scripture, these backsliding theologians have come up with the notion of God in a state of change. God in a state of flux. Importing a heathen philosophy into so-called Christian theology, they have invented a God who is forever becoming. Now let me tell you, God does not become righteous. God is not righteous because He chose to be righteous rather than unrighteous. God is not righteous because He adopted righteousness. God is righteous because that is what He is, eternally, essentially, immutably. If I could put it this way, God could not be without being righteous. God could not be without being all that He is. God is. And that's an end of it. God is. He is what He is. By eternal essential necessity. In man, righteousness signifies a conformity to an external standard, the standard that's set by divine law. I want you to understand that. Righteousness is an absolutely perfect conformity to the standard that is set by the law of God. That's righteousness as far as men are concerned. But that's not the meaning of the word when it's applied to God. The law does not make God righteous. God, because He is righteous, produced the law. God is not righteous because He conforms to the law. The law is righteous because it conforms to God. It reflects its giver. So when you speak of righteousness in God, you're not speaking of His conformity to anything outside of Himself. Righteousness is God's perfect consistency with His own holy nature in all that He is, in all that He says, and in all that He does.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408, or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.